Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers. Each week, you'll hear how they navigate these fulfilling and challenging roles, how they make art and mother their children. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and now podcast host. I hope these interviews inspire and encourage you on your own journey as an artist and mother. Thanks for listening.
I think the best thing is, how do you become your best self, you know, and how do you become not just your best self, but like through your artwork, and how do you develop that? You're not going to, it's not an instant viral thing where it just is like, oh, look, I'm a Picasso or I'm a Monet, you know. It's like you have to really spend the time to at least think about it, play, have fun, enjoy the process. I mean, that's the best part.
Today, I am so excited to welcome Erica Lee Sears to the Artist Mother Podcast. Erica is a self-taught oil painter. She has exhibited work in numerous group shows across the country, including the Not a Lemon Show in San Francisco and the Enormous Tiny Art Show in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Erica has had two recent solo shows in her home city of Portland, Oregon. Her work has been featured on almost every season of the fabulous TV show Portlandia, and she has been featured in publications such as Uppercase Magazine. I'm really grateful to interview you, Erica, and hear more about your life as an artist and mother, so welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Okay, so let's just dive right in. Can you just talk a little bit about your career as an artist? I know, you know, I've already mentioned you were self-taught. Like, what grabbed you and made you dive into art and, you know, just go for it? How did your journey begin? And if you'll share just some high points along your journey so far.
Okay. When I first started out, like, showing my work, well, what happened was, is I finished school, I got a job in finance, and I bought a house, I married my husband, and you kind of tick all these boxes, but I realized I was super unfulfilled with what I was doing, because I was like, okay, I did everything I was supposed to be doing, and it's kind of like, now what? What am I supposed to be doing? And I was still painting at night, and one of my girlfriends and I started reading a book called The Anti 9-to-5, and we also read Escape from Cubicle Nation. And basically, we read the books together, like a little book club, and I set a goal for myself to finish like 10 paintings and to show my work. And in Portland, you can show your work for free. They have these street fairs, or for really inexpensive. It's like, I think it was like $20 to show. And you just basically have a little square and you show your work. And that's how I started, really.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you know, just to hear you go so quickly from like, this is, you know, something I'm doing, to I'm just going to dive right in. And you must be, I don't know, pretty bold and brave.
I think I'm like one of those people where I just kind of dive right in without thinking about it. Because if I were to think about it, it'd be like, what? Wait, what?
Yeah, you'd psych yourself out.
Yeah. And, you know, and that was me showing my work and kind of applying for shows and getting your feet wet. Because, you know, the street fairs in Portland, the one that's free, it's called Last Thursday. And anybody can set up. It gets really crazy and crowded. And it's like, once you sell your first painting or your first piece of art, it's like I was hooked.
That's
awesome.
Hooked. So can you describe your art for someone who might not have yet seen it? I know you're an oil painter, but
sure.
You know what? First of all, I think it's amazing that you're a self-taught oil painter, because, you know, oil painting is a medium that has a lot of tricks and different things that it involves. So I'd love to hear, you know, just your journey with oil paint and how you really taught yourself. And if you'll just talk a little bit about what you paint, you know, maybe your style, just give us some information for those who have not seen it.
Oh, sure. Well, what happened after I, you know, was showing my work in Portland, I became pregnant with my daughter, and I went through these big bouts of not feeling creative. And I'm a really prolific person. Like, I'm always like making things and being creative. And then I had my son, and with my son, I was really scared of not being creative at all and not making art, because I knew I had to make a choice between being super creative or just being a mom. And there's nothing wrong with just being a mom, but I feel like I love being creative so much and I want a gift for myself. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, when I was pregnant with my son, I decided after he was born, January 1st, when he was 6 weeks old, I would start my project, Make Art Every Day. And I just am finishing up my fourth year. I'm going into my fifth year. And it's basically changed my life in all the best ways. It's definitely taught me discipline. Because for a person that doesn't have a lot of discipline, it's taught me a ton of discipline. And it also taught me a ton about oil painting. And that's kind of what I was circling back to. I love oil painting. I love the depth of how much... you know, what you can do with it, the flexibility, the how beautiful it feels on my brush. Mm-hmm. But I truly learned how to paint in oils by doing it on a regular basis every day, developing a practice.
So you have basically done an oil painting or worked on a painting almost every day for the past 4 to 5 years?
Yes.
That's amazing.
But it's not like, I mean, there's some days where it's like, wow, look what I did. But there's some days where it's just like, okay, I just have to like, you know, have the brush hit the paper. And it's not always on like a hard, like a surface, like a prep surface. Sometimes I just do like sketchbook work. And that's where I really started doing it, is because oil painting, it's like, it's such an old discipline that there's like a lot of people like, there's so many rules. And there are a lot of rules. However, it's not like you can kind of, once you start painting with it, you can decide what works for you and what doesn't. And every role, everyone kind of does it a little bit different because there's so many choices.
Right.
And I think that's the most difficult thing about oil painting, is there are a lot of choices. And once you figure out what choices are best for you, then it's super easy, because I don't believe in a lot of the things like some traditional painters do, like, I have to set up my palette a certain way. It has to be perfect, perfect, perfect. No, not me. Or I'm like super mean to my brushes. I use a really inexpensive, you know, economical brush so I can like have fun and play and like get dirty and crazy and not have to like worry about like being super picky about like my brushes, my palette, whatever. Like, so yeah.
I love that. Could you talk a little bit about the subject matter? You know, you obviously do a lot of still life inspired paintings, a lot of fruit and fans, and, you know, just where do you find inspiration for what you choose to paint?
Well, it first started with just like being a mom, as you know, is very tough and challenging. And I mean, it's an amazing experience, but it's also like super duper hard. And so I started by just painting like little things that would cheer me up through the day. Like maybe it was my cup of tea, or maybe it was, you know, me looking in a vintage shop window and seeing a really cool fan. So it just started by little like things that I would just notice in the day, because it would just be like, you know, my kids would be screaming and being like, mommy, 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 or just like they were sick all day and like, you know, covered in vomit. And it's like, well, maybe that cup of tea with that slice of lemon was my highlight of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it started. And then it's kind of evolved into like, okay, now I'm obsessed with learning how to paint this way or paint that way, or, you know, like little things will stick out, like or colors, or it's just kind of evolved.
Are you mostly painting from life, or are you taking photographs of those scenes, like your cup of tea, for example? Or is this like you had the cup of tea and you don't get in the studio for 3 hours and you're painting from memory?
Never from memory. I mean, if I had it my way, I definitely would be painting from life, but just because of like children and stuff. Yeah. I usually snap a picture, or if I have it handy, like my typewriters and stuff are usually from life. But my husband says I can't bring typewriters in the house anymore because they're too big. Like, or I can't buy anymore. I have to sell some and then maybe I can buy more.
So, but you have your paintings of them at least.
You can keep those. Well, I sell them. So then I need more.
Yes.
But like, I'm a collector that way. Like, I love old stuff. I love new stuff. I love I love stuff.
Maybe you'll have to start selling the typewriter with the painting, and then you can collect a new typewriter, paint it, sell it as a set or something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like my favorite. Okay. I have my typewriter like my dad handed me down, but my second favorite typewriter is a cursive typewriter.
Oh, cool.
It is amazing.
Yeah. You got to keep that one.
Oh, I know, but I want to keep them all, and I want to keep all the fans, and I want to keep all the I don't know. I collect stuff. I love it.
Okay. So outside of, your life as an artist, can you tell us a little bit about who you are? I know you have stated that you left your corporate job. So Are you working another job now? Are you home with your kids? How many kids do you have? Like, give us a little more insight into you outside of your studio life.
Sure. I'm a full-time working artist at this point. Yay.
Yeah.
I know. It's actually like super exciting, super grateful. Is there a life outside of art and motherhood? I don't know.
Good point.
Really? I do like the occasional glass of wine, a good book, date night, you know, when I can get a babysitter and go to the movies. That's always a treat.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's you. I love it. Thank you.
I know. Okay. Guilty pleasure. Real Housewives. Currently watching Below Deck. I want to be on that boat someday. It's in the universe now.
Yes. It's going to come your way now that you said it.
That's true.
Okay. So how about your studio? Like, what is your studio now? How has your studio space changed over the duration of your career? Did you start, in a guest room and now you're in a studio, or what's that like? What's your journey been with your physical studio space? Because I think that's something that, those of us who are moms and artists are kind of always figuring out.
Sure. I first started out on my kitchen table, which I would not recommend for oil painting because It like got so gross. Like it was gross. And I refinished it. It's great now. But then before I had kids, I had a dedicated like room. We had an extra room and for the space. But then, we had two kids and then I was back in the kitchen. And then we moved into our new house and I have a dedicated space, but I share it with my husband, but he doesn't. It's like my space and it's like he has a corner, which I think is totally fair.
Yes.
but in the future, like within the next year, we have like an attic space that I'm going to be converting into my studio. So like, which is about 500 square feet. So I'm super excited about
that. That's exciting. So it has evolved as your career has evolved.
But I think like what I would have to say to someone that's like, oh, I don't have any space, like get just even if it's like a desk or something you can make a mess on, just as long as it's like your space that you can do whatever you want with it. That's what's most important.
Yes, that's great advice. Okay, so I know you mentioned the art fairs. Can you talk a little bit more about what the art scene is like where you live and just about how you've sort of built a sense of community around your art? And, if you could share a little bit about that, that'd be great.
Sure. Well, I'm born and raised in Portland, Oregon, aka Portlandia.
Lucky you.
it's kind of true. Like I can't watch the show because it's kind of true. It's totally true. It's a place that's a really creative city. There is lots of ways to get involved as an artist. I've been really lucky because when I first started showing my work, I came at a time where there's lots of people, emerging artists that want to show their work, and I, could be a part of a lot of group shows where, within my first year, like I applied for everything, anything and everything. I applied. And a lot of those curators I'm still friends with today that are still, doing different projects and different things. That's how I got Portlandia.
So that was something you applied for?
No. So the, what happened was Portlandia came to town and they, get a curator to help them supply art. And I was friends with the curator that they picked. And it was someone that I've showed, art with for a really long time that came up the same time I started showing my work. So it's like the relationships that I first had when I was first doing those art fairs,
yes,
like led me to the bigger opportunities later.
Yes. It's, I try to stress that so much that it's all about connections, and not even connections like who you know, quote unquote, but who you put yourself out there to know. You know, it's like the network that you're building for yourself is so important to your art career.
It's true. It's true. And it's kind of like, and I also realized that everybody's art career is different. Mm-hmm. No one is going to have the same career, and it's going to evolve and grow. And like one person might go into like workshops and teaching, and another person might, you know, get more into like licensing. Everyone's different.
Yes.
It truly is true. And we all can help each other. That's the thing. It's like, we're all in it together, and it's all about like everyone makes something a little bit different.
Are you enjoying the newly launched Artist Mother podcast? I hope you're loving it. And if you are, consider supporting our work by spreading the news and sharing this podcast with your friends and social media followers. Please check out our website, www.artistmotherpodcast.com, for more information. And while you're there, stop by our shop where we have brand new, comfy and cute Artist Mother t-shirts for sale. You can also find us on Instagram at Artist Mother Podcast. Okay, I gotta ask, because I know there's some people out there who might need to hear this, and you know, who are gonna see you and think like, there's no way this girl could answer that she's ever been rejected. But have you ever been rejected from a show?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I have in my, what I have in my studio is I have a letter, an Andy Warhol letter where he got rejected.
Yep.
Right. And I can't remember the book or podcast or something I listened to, but it said that if you're not getting rejected, you're not applying enough.
Yes.
So like, if you're not putting yourself out there enough, like, and you know, like you need to get rejected in order to like get into things. And, you know, and how do you learn, how do you grow and all that stuff. And maybe that opportunity wasn't the opportunity for you in your career, or maybe your artwork is just not ready yet.
Right.
That's what I think too.
Yep. That's great. And I just think we need to talk about that more, because, you know, there's just this assumption that everybody's checking the boxes all day long. And sometimes that's just not the case.
No, I mean, to be honest, I used to just cry. Like when I didn't get into stuff, I'd just be like, I did it, I got it, you know, and just be like so upset, you know?
Yeah.
But like now it's kind of like to the point where it's like, oh, okay, you know, maybe this just wasn't for me right now, or, you know, this wasn't meant for, or I didn't fit into the show for whatever reason.
Right.
And it isn't always about shows. I mean, because I've learned like so much through selling artwork like online and Instagram and stuff, that it's like you sometimes outgrow opportunities, or, I mean, there's just a ton of reasons why maybe it's just not the right fit for right now.
That's true. Okay, so can you talk a little bit about social media and the art world, and specifically your art practice? How do you feel like it's, you know, benefited you, but also what do you find frustrating about it?
Okay, well, social media has changed my art career in all the best ways. I mean, if you think about it, you are meeting people from all over the country, all over the world, that are connecting with what you do. You know, like I'm in the boat where I don't really get frustrated with social media, because I feel like, you know, I get that there's always like a behind the curtain. Like, I mean, people talk about, oh, everyone, your life is like so perfect or whatever, or like the Instagram accounts where they're just like, the kids are never crying or whatever. And the thing is, though, it's like, it's that perception. There's always right. like you're just putting out there what you want people to see, right?
Right.
So I don't really get frustrated in that respect. I think the only time I get a little like annoyed is when you get like a few trolls like on your account where they're like, oh, a 10-year-old made this or a 5-year-old made this. But at the same time, I got noticed.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, or
and
the
you
one time
didn't
I
make it, so.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't matter. I mean, like, you know, maybe they're just being mean for like fun or whatever. And, you know, it's like, but at the same time, it's like, if you're getting people saying something like not nice, even though it's totally like a troll, it's like people are paying attention to you.
Right.
And that's what you ultimately want. I did have someone take my artwork, like a really big account, and didn't tag me mm-hmm. on there. Like he had, they almost had like 1 million followers. And I was like, you know, I was like, what are you doing? I work really hard for this. How hard is it to tag somebody? I mean, this is my life's work. I do this every day.
Right.
And, you know, I talked about it on my Instagram stories and stuff, and I had my followers, my people go on there. Yeah. And they went on there and they railed the guy, and he was like, I'm so sorry. And he was like a big enough account where he was getting tagged by, or I got picked up from a couple other, like large Instagram accounts because of him. And then it turned into this thing where I had to, it cleared itself up, and it generated a lot of people coming back and finding me that I probably would not have found if I didn't say, hey, that's not okay. So I think sometimes, even though like something is frustrating you, I think if you try to do the right thing and like stand up for yourself, it might turn out okay and awesome, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Do you sell your work through Instagram?
You know, I sell it wherever I can. I accept all forms of payment. However people want to give me it, I will accept it.
Yeah, I love that.
It's true. Okay. I'm a working artist.
That's true. So can you tell me, how does childcare play, you know, into your art practice? Do you pay for childcare? Does your spouse like have a career where you guys can kind of swap during the day? Do you have family nearby? What's that situation like?
So I started my project Making Art Every Day when my son was 6 weeks old. So at the time, no, I did not. But I would be up for his, like, you know how they have that 3 a.m., 4 a.m. feeding? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I could never go back to sleep. I don't know how people do it, but I just like would be up. So I would have like a window of a couple hours, or like even like 15 minutes. Or I've had this little pocket of time where I'd make art in the morning. And then, you know, it kind of stuck with that, where I developed like a morning routine where I could like make art in the morning before everyone kind of got up. But now I'm super lucky because my daughter is in first grade. Yay. So school all day. But my son, he's 4, he's in preschool 3 days a week, and I put him in an extra day. So he's in preschool 4 days a week in the mornings. So I'm super duper lucky. And next year is 4 days also. So
that's great.
Yeah. And so what I would recommend to people, if they don't like have that flexibility of childcare, like there are so many economical resources where it's like we have in Portland and like, the rec center, where they have like, it's like a little daycare, but they do a craft and go over a letter, and it's 1 day a week. And even if you get that 1 day a week, or have to wake up a little bit early to have yourself some creative time, like, give the gift to yourself of making something.
Yes, it's worth it.
100.
Okay, Erica, how does your journey as a mother weave its way into your art?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, well, I mean, my family is my number one source of inspiration, number one. But number two, it's like, if I didn't have this like I think about this a lot. If you didn't have this like pressure or conflict with like time, because it's like, what did you do with your time before you had kids? I don't know. You know, like,
nobody
I don't
can
know.
Answer that.
Right. And so now it's like, you're like, oh my God, I got 15 minutes, or I get to go to Target by myself. Like, or I get to go to the grocery store by myself. And it's like, you could just do the groceries in like 15 minutes or whatever. And you're just like, and you don't know how you were able to like have all this time before. But now I feel like that, since you have this pressure of time because of like kids and family and like other things, it's like you have to really get to the nitty gritty, like really be like, what do I want to make? I got to get it done. I got to do it. Boom. Right.
Yeah. That like, you know, just attention to, I don't know, it's almost like the grit like is just there because that's all you have. So you just got to go for it.
Yeah, no looking back.
Yes, I definitely understand that feeling. Okay, and flipping that question around, how do you feel that, you know, being an artist and this call to be creative, how do you feel like that has influenced your role as a mom?
Well, I have one really super, like, creative child, and one that's, like child that's like arts and crafts again, what, you know, it's like, so I have one that's like super, like it's her superpower, like me. And then my son, who's just like, crayons, no, they're touching me. You know, it's like, I think the greatest gift that you can give your kids is, like, you know, letting them be their own person and letting them, you know, scratch whatever itch they have. Like, if it's creativity, if it's, you know, baseball, if it's whatever. I hope that, you know, like, I could give that gift to my kids, like, let them be whatever they want to be, for sure.
Erica, is there a piece of advice that you've been given that, you know, just has stuck with you throughout your life? That you can think of? If not, that's okay.
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice that has always, like, kind of stuck with me is, like, that has kind of evolved into, maybe, that I've, like, kind of recently reflected, is basically the place of where practice fits in and discipline. And I'm not saying, like, discipline, like, hey, you need to, you know, like, it's this super, super strict thing. But I think it's super important to have a practice and have something where you are thinking about it, showing up for it, you know, really making your best work, I think, is what's important. It's not about perfect work. It's not being like, I have to make this perfect apple or perfect thing. It's about making your best work. That's a reflection of, like, your mind, whatever's in your mind becoming alive.
And I really like that and appreciate that you are willing to say that, because, you know, I know for me, that's something that when you talk with other artists, you know, and again, like, coming back to social media, I feel like there's just this perception that we get it right all the time. And, you know, it's not true. There's hours and hours of, you know, sketchbooking or nursing a baby and thinking about a painting, or, you know, like you're saying, taking your kids to daycare and then, like, spending hours, you know, painting whatever it is that you feel called to paint, that go into this life and this practice. And, you know, I think sometimes discipline is, I don't know, a loaded word, but I do feel like it's very important to talk about discipline in your studio practice.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid of the word. I mean, I don't like the word discipline because I'm super undisciplined. I don't even like disciplining. Okay, I discipline my own kids, but I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't want them running in the streets or whatever, but I like, you know, talking about things and developing their minds. But, like,
maybe commitment.
Yeah, I mean, your commitment. And then, like, I think the best thing is, how do you become your best self, mm-hmm. you know, and how do you become not just your best self, but, like, through your artwork, and how do you develop that? You're not going to, it's not an instant viral thing where it just is like, oh, look, I'm a Picasso or I'm a Monet, you know. It's like, you have to really spend the time to at least think about it, play, have fun, enjoy the process. I mean, that's the best part.
Yeah, and it's a daily practice. Yeah.
It is. It truly is. And if you don't have time for a daily practice, like, give yourself 15 minutes, even if it's, like, sitting in a chair and thinking about it. Because it's like, if you've ever read, like, The Artist Way, it's not necessarily about, like, the pen hitting the paper. It's about, you know, just showing up and being present for that moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some goals that you have for 2019?
Well, 2018 has been bananas. 2019, I have some projects coming. I just got done filming with Creative Bug. I'm going to be teaching an oil painting course and a 30-day challenge. And that the 30-day challenge, I think, comes out in March, which I have to say, Creative Bug, they were amazing. It's what dreams are made of. Fabulous.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like whatever you think it is times 10, it's amazing.
Woo.
They're super cool. I just hope it all turns out okay, because it's kind of like you film it and then they do their magic and it's like, okay, I did good. It's great.
Yeah. Now you got to release it into the world.
Yes, I'm super excited. And I just want to brag. I was 5 days without my kids and my husband, and I got to not share food, shower by myself, read a book. It's the little things.
Yes. When can I sign up for that?
I know. And then I have a show. I have a solo show at Providence Hospital in June. which more to come with that. I'm thinking about it now because I need to be a cohesive body of work. So it's in the wheels. And then I'm also teaching my first workshop. I've taught privately, like just a few students at a time or a handful of people, but I'm teaching a workshop with Jenny Doe next October, which I'm really excited about. Awesome. Cause I think I'm going to do something about oil painting, but I also want to incorporate creativity because I feel like people forget with oil painting, people forget how creative you can really be with the medium.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow. That sounds like a great year.
Yeah, I know. And who knows what could happen?
That's right. You never know.
I know. I'm open. And you know, I have paintings available.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, Erica, I'm going to close up this interview with our final five. These are five questions that you can answer as briefly as you would like. And I just, you know, so appreciate you giving us your time. So let's dive into this final five and then we'll wrap it up. So what are you currently reading?
I am currently reading The Secret, which is pretty great. It's kind of about positive thinking and putting your brain in the right place. So have you read it?
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah. Well, it kept popping up where, you know how you hear people talking about a book and then you're like, okay, I got to read it. So it's kind of about imagining your life and being where you want to be, but imagining it first.
Cool. So that sounds good. Okay.
I know. And then wait, I got to tell you.
Yes,
and the
please.
Next book I'm reading is, it's already on the docket. Jen Sincero, she just came out with a new book and I'm really excited about it.
What are you currently watching?
Oh, Below Deck, anything Real Housewives. Oh, and Top Chef just started.
Oh, yes. Actually, there's
but they don't have Portland people, which I'm disappointed, Bravo.
No, but I'm in Northwest Tennessee, and there's a chef that has a restaurant an hour from us that we love on the show. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Ooh.
So
that's so exciting, and you can visit and be like, hi.
Exactly.
But I get totally starstruck. I love getting starstruck. I love meeting, like, anyway, I love meeting super or reality people. It's great.
What would you do? Well, you kind of just told us this. You had five. The question is, what would you do if you had a whole weekend to yourself? You said you had 5 days, but you were kind of working. So, you know.
Yeah, I was.
What if you had a weekend that was separate from work and family life and you could do whatever you wanted?
I probably would. Okay, I'd probably, in all honesty, I would probably sleep. I would probably get a pedicure, you know, because I loved my feet getting rubbed and painted. And then I'd probably go shopping and go to the museum or something like that. Like shopping, like meaning like the little boutiques where you can actually take your time and look at things, where there's lots of breakables.
Yes.
Yes.
And no little hands with you too.
Yeah. And I'd probably, just spend the day really clearing my brain and getting inspired with things. I think really taking myself on an artist date.
I like that. Okay, what is your beverage of choice? Well, you mentioned you like wine. Tell us more.
Okay, so during the day, LaCroix. At night, wine, rosé. I do like a fun cocktail.
Okay, and last but not least, in the spirit of community, because, you know, we can't do this alone, is there anyone that you'd like to give a shout out to or thank for supporting you and your art?
You know, I feel like honestly, this year has been a crazy year for me and I have to thank every single person that has ever liked a post, reached out to me, wrote me notes, letters. I have a fantastic art group that I have in town in Portland. And I, you know, my husband, my kids, I have so many things to be grateful for this year. I have no complaints.
Erica, thank you so much. Your paintings are inspiring and beautiful. I love, you know, that you've shared a bit more about your journey. And I know many of our listeners are going to be inspired by what you've shared. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.